I think I'm on. Okay. Good. Good to see you all here this morning. And again, happy Father's Day today. And a couple little announcements that we need to cover here. I want to go back. There was a somebody asked me this morning about IncaLink and what our situation is with IncaLink. IncaLink came to me here about a week ago and ask if there's any possibility that we could extend the help for two refrigerators, one for the town of Manta and one for the town of Puerto Viejo. And these refrigerators go to keep food cold because they're feeding about 35 kids in each one of these two areas in garbage dumps, okay? Now, the food's not garbage dump food, but the kids live in the garbage dump. They live there. And so the church is doing a ministry to these kids, and they have training and Bible lessons and help them get cleaned up once in a while and provide food for them and provide a lunch for them. So if we can go, we had $2,300, I'm not sure where we're at today. If we can make that up to $3,000, then I know that we can buy two refrigerators, one for each town, which is kind of a request from IncaLink. So I pass that on to you and ask you guys to pray about it. This is not a commercial to raise money. It's just we have an opportunity, and if you feel God leading you that way, to respond to it. If you can't hear me because my voice tends to drop, wave at me. And my wife knows to do that too. So once again, happy Father's Day. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do in the fathers. And today we want to talk a little bit about fathers and about our Father, our Heavenly Father, more than fathers here today. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning because you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that we have a day to celebrate fathers here, but also, Lord, help us to remember to celebrate you and what you ask of us, what you're doing in our lives, the blessings you give us, how you care for us, how you take care of everything that we need. And, Lord, we thank you for that. Bless this service now. May we hear from you. May we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, my wife and I made a first trip to Ecuador. And, we were just out of college, just married a year, and we went through Savannah, Georgia. And I had a relative who happened to live in Savannah, and so she invited us to stay with her, and so we spent a night in Savannah, and she gave us a tour of Savannah. Going through Savannah, she took us to an old church. The old church was where one of the Wesley brothers had preached, and as a preacher and as Bible college student, one of the things you kind of like to do is go into churches and stand in the pulpit and see what it looks like from the preacher's point of view. And so I went up to the pulpit. It was one of those old churches where there's kind of a spiral staircase that goes up to the pulpit, and the pulpit kind of hangs on the wall, you know. And that's in case a preacher preaches too long and you pull a lever and it drops. So I went up the stairs, and halfway up the stairs, there's a brass plaque. That changed my life. Said, sir, we would see Jesus. Wow. Well, this morning I want you to see Jesus, not in me, but I want you to see Jesus, what he has to say to us. And so this morning, I'm going to start with something I've never preached on before. John 3:16. A passage that all of us probably memorized in Sunday school at some point. And I want to take a moment and just kind of break that down slightly, and then we'll go on from there. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know, I have a button here in my pocket that I have to push the right button again, and I can't tell if it switches. Do I have it right? I got it right. I just killed it. There we go. No. Boy, I got to get my finger off of there in a hurry. That's a hot finger. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us. His love is so great. It is not dependent upon our behavior. It's not dependent upon the way we live. It's not dependent on what we believe. It's not dependent on where we are and what we do or what we say. It's on God. God, because of his character, because of his genuine love for us, sent his son, his only son. We're totally dependent upon God. It's not dependent upon ourselves. God's gift was abundant to give us life. He who believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of us inherit a sinful nature that comes from creation, comes from the time when Satan took over. And so we get to deal with a natural nature, a sin nature that Jesus Christ got rid of for us. We should not perish, but we should live forever. That is life without end, life eternal. Ephesians chapter 4, let's see if I can pump that up there this time. Ephesians chapter 2, sorry. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only God's grace that you have been saved. We're reminded of his great love. That love originates with God. There's no limits to his mercy. In spite of our failures, God's mercy is even bigger. When we are nasty, wrong, and rotten to the core, God made us alive, even though we are not such nice people at times. The grace of God saved us. God raised us up to the level of Christ. We've been seated with the King, but by God's grace. Verse 6, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages for examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. There is no equal. There is none that matched his kindness. There is nothing that matches his love. God wants to show us off as examples of his love. You are an example of God's love, and he wants to show that off to the world, see that he loves you and that he loves the world as well. God says we are saved by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for what is. I'm going to push the button again. Nope. Oh, push me back, right? Okay. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. I love that word. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We're the products of God's creativity. We are God's handiwork. He is a great creator. He has tremendous skill beyond ours. He's a master at creation. The first creator, the master creator. And he made us for what purpose? To do good works. God's plan for us is that we be active and productive. And when we die, we're not going to go to heaven and sit on a cloud. I hate to disappoint you if you think you're going to spend all eternity sitting on a cloud. Not going to happen. God has work for us to do, and I'm convinced that all of eternity we will be doing what God wants us and has prepared us and caused us to do. Sometimes we think that that's going to be eternal rest, doing nothing, but I think that God has a much bigger plan. I can't imagine the kind of work that he can create for us to do. And fun work, kind of work that we like doing. He made us to do good works. So when God planned us in creation, he also planned the work that we're going to do. He planned, he prepared us, and he gave us skills and talents and abilities and a purpose. We're not by accident. We're not just by coincidence. We're not by circumstance. We're part of God's great plan. So let's look at part of that, what that plan is. And Acts 1:8, come on, okay. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. When I thought about Father's Day and the message for this morning, I was praying about it. I said, Lord, what do I do? He changed my mind. I was going to hit fathers and talk about fathers and the role of fathers, but God showed me something else. He says, you know, I'm a Heavenly Father, and he said, I want to share about his work around the world. So this morning I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. He says, after the Holy Spirit comes on us, you will be, it's not a command in this case, this is a result. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, the closest place around us, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this is the scripture verse starts off close to us in our immediate community, in our town, goes outside the town, to the county, to the state, to the country, and to the world. You will be my witnesses. God's work for us is to be those witnesses. How many of you know what the Great Commission is? Go ahead and stick your hand up. I'm curious. Somebody tells me 40% of our church people do not know what the Great Commission is. So I just took a poll, okay, to find out whether that doctrine is right. That document wasn't totally right. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Let's see if we get that to come up here. Man, I need to hold this thing up in the air when I do that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. God has commanded this. This is not a suggestion. This is not a work opportunity. This is a command to each one of us to go and make disciples of all nations. Teaching God's word, teaching obedience to the word, is part of that discipleship process. When we became missionaries, or headed to be missionaries, I went to Bible college. I have a long story to tell you, but I'll save that for down the road 5 minutes. And went to Bible college to study to be a missionary. In fact, in those days, the school I went to was called Nyack Missionary College. Okay? And that was in Nyack, New York. It is now called Alliance. Help me out. Alliance University. University. Thank you. Len Ham must be back there. I might change my little glasses and see who's back in the, up in the audience there. We went there to study to be missionaries. We wanted to prepare. If God wants us to be missionaries, he wants us to go prepared. And the Alliance wants that prepared. So in the Alliance, in order to go out, or in those days to go out as a missionary, you had to get a master's degree in the area of your study, which is in case missions, or whether it was nursing, or whether it was education. They required a master's degree before they would send you out. Then you had to have 2 years of language training. And for some of us, that was kind of fun, and we enjoyed it. Most people hate language school because they go to a class, they sit down, and the teacher talks to them in a language. They have no idea what they're saying. They have no idea what they tell them to do. And they just listen to these sounds, and they ask them to repeat them. Can you repeat that sound? And so language training is not necessarily a lot of fun for most people. You study culture, you study history. My Bible, one of my minors in college was culture and anthropology. And so that's part of your preparation of a missionary, is to study who you're going to go to. When we narrowed it down to the area that we were going to be assigned to, we were assigned to Ecuador, and partially our request, because we felt God leading us that way. But we were assigned to Ecuador, and so then we had to work on a term paper in our graduate studies. And that term paper, we had to build a, it wasn't a paper, we had to build a large book, a large box full of 5x8 cards, but all the cultural information we could find on Ecuador. So we had history, politics, religions, culture, food, geography, climates, all those kind of things we had to study. So that when we get there, we are prepared, theoretically, prepared for what you're going to discover. And so it means a lot of study. Getting ready to be a missionary is not a quick thing that you finish off and you jump in a car and you go, or jump on a boat, fly to another country. So, get my notes straight here. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. God has given us a command to go to all of the world, immerse ourselves in their culture, immerse ourselves in their language, travel wherever we can, live there, live among them, and preach the gospel to every tribe and every tongue and every nation so that they can know God's word, preach the power and ministry and story of Jesus Christ. God wants them. He wants them to be his children. God loves them and wants to express his love to these people. Next. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, preach the gospel to all creation, make disciples, teach them to obey God's word, and baptize them. God sends us out wherever the place might happen to be. And there came a point in my life when I said, okay, Jesus, I don't know what all you want from me, but I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to say whatever you want me to say because you are my Heavenly Father and you send me. When I was in high school, I felt God's call that way. I remember one year I went to a missionary convention, and so for some of you who heard this story, I apologize. But went to church on a Sunday night. I think it was a missionary convention. A missionary was there from Indonesia. His name was Harold Kato. And I remember that way back. And he talked about working in Indonesia. And where he was at in Indonesia, it was a pretty tough country. He talked about walking through the swamps to get to these villages to share the gospel with these people. And he says, you know, 10 years ago, 5 missionaries went to a place in Ecuador, on the beach of Ecuador, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a group of people that you may know as the Alcas. They're Waldani today. And these 5 missionaries left their lives on that beach. The airplane landed on the beach. The Indians attacked them and killed them. And they died taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. His question to me was, and to the congregation, 10 years ago, no replacements. Nobody's gone to take their place. Who is going to do it? Man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. God said, you go. You go. And I was impressed so clearly that that's what God's role for me was in my life, was to go as a missionary to Ecuador. At a point when you work with an organization, sometimes they have different ideas about what parts you're going to do, where you're going to live, and what you're going to do. We went to Ecuador. Spent 34 years there. I guess we did okay. We survived. We didn't die on the jungle beach. And we're back here. But when God speaks to us and tells us to go, God gives us a commission. God gives us a challenge. He's prepared us, or he is preparing us. He has given you the gifts. He's given you the skills. He's given you the outlook, the mental capacity, the way of seeing things, all of that to accomplish a job that he has for you. Now, we talked this morning a little bit about fathers, but there's another organization that some people ask questions about, the Christian Missionary Alliance. And in some cases, people say, what, Christian Missionary Appliance? That's a store down the corner. And So talking a little bit about what the Alliance is and how the Alliance helped us to get to that point in our lives. And what is the Alliance doing in the world today? When we started out with the Alliance, there were about 1,000 missionaries with the Alliance scattered around the world. And now we're at about 700. And you say, well, what happened? Why did we lose 300 missionaries? We didn't lose them. They retired. That's only part of it. We've changed our focus in missions. Our focus goes from going to areas where when we left Ecuador, the Alliance had been there like 120 years. How long do you stay in a country and teach them, put in a seminary, train their people, help them establish churches? You have 200 local national churches going in the country of Ecuador. How long do we stay? That was a question that we debated many times in our missionary meetings. We reached a point where we said the key is when they start to send out their own missionaries, they train their own people, they finance their own missionaries, they find a way to send them. That's what our final goal was before the Alliance left Ecuador. Now, I'm supposed to keep pushing the buttons here. The Alliance is working in 65 countries around the world today. We have about 700 plus workers around the world. Most of those are in countries that we can't really tell you much about because of their safety. Many of these countries will not grant a visa, will not grant a person an opportunity to enter. If I tried to go in and say, what's your profession? I'm a missionary. There's no way in the world they're going to let me into the country. So many of these countries that we can't go into, they cannot share the gospel freely in that country. And so because of that limitation, we have about 700 missionaries in countries we can't, all of them we can't tell you about. 80% of these work in what they call the least reached areas. Check the map behind me. So let's go one more picture. Oh, I've got to point it behind me. Okay. I don't know how many of you have seen this map before. There's a square box in the middle, which is called the 1040 window. How many of you have heard of the 1040 window? Not very many. Okay, good. We'll talk about the 1040 window. It is not 40 windows on this side of the house and 10 on that side of the house, okay? 1040 window is an area that is 10 degrees below and 40 degrees above the equator in this area that you see in the box. The majority of the world's population lives in that window. The majority of non-believers live in that window. In fact, the majority of those who live in that window are non-believers. So we're going to look at that window for a moment, and we're going to talk about unreached people groups, because there are groups of people scattered throughout that window that have never heard the name of Jesus. There's nobody in their country who can tell them about Jesus, who can mention his name. There's nobody there. And that's why we as a mission and as Alliance are focusing our efforts as well as many other missionary groups to focus on reaching the people who live in this 1040 window. The world population today is about, move to the next picture, about 8 billion. Did I miss it? Okay. World population is around 8 billion people today, a little less maybe. Hard to keep track of exactly where that's at. There are 17,400 people groups in the world today. People group are a group of at least 100,000 who speak a single language. They have a single culture. And so they generally come in clusters. Most of them are in this area that is called the 1040 window. 7,386 are totally unreached today. The unreached population is about 3.4 billion people. And that means that 42.3%, I'll get to point three, 42% are unreached people's groups. And then there are about 5,000 frontier groups And the frontier groups are even more isolated, and they may not have anybody around who even knows who Jesus is. That means that there's no national pastors. It means that there's no local leaders that understand. It means that there are no Bible colleges. There are no seminaries. There's no way to train pastors in these countries because they're totally isolated. Unreached people groups, typically, less than 2% of that people group are Christ followers. They have limited access to the gospel. None of these places have an indigenous church, a national church. Most are groups of 10 million people or larger. Primary religion is Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and other local ethnic religions. They have no Bibles. They have no literature. There's no Christian TV stations. There's no Christian radio stations to share the gospel with them. They are isolated and unreached. And that's where we're focusing a lot of our effort today in the Christian Missionary Alliance, is to train and go to these areas. Our missionaries now are being recruited to go to these areas, and they go under a profession. You'll hear marketplace ministries. You'll hear different names given to limited access people because they cannot openly talk about the gospel. There's another organization I want to share with you. It's called Alliance World Fellowship. In every country where the Alliance has been working for a number of years, we have trained people, we have seminaries, we have pastors who are trained, and a local organization that's recognized by the government, a local organization of Alliance churches. And so a country may have 100 or 200 or 300 Alliance churches in that country that all belong to what's called the National Church. The National Churches around the world got together, had a big conference several years ago, and continue to work together, and it's called the Alliance World Fellowship. And so these people get together, the big leaders, every once in a while, and talk about strategies for reaching the lost and strategies for doing the ministry that they do. They have a board. They have national assembly. They're self-supporting. They're self-governing. One of our policies in the Alliance is that we don't pay pastors in these countries. We do not pay out to keep the ministry going there. We might pay to start a seminary. We might pay to train people. But our job is to create self-governing, self-propagating, and self-sufficient, self-financing ministries. And so many of these countries now are sending their own missionaries to other countries. And that was kind of fun in Ecuador. We were there in a time period when some of our friends went to other countries that I can't tell you where. And they take the gospel of Jesus Christ to different countries. And so right now, looking cross-culturally, let's forget it. Come on, buttons. These countries on a board ahead of you, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil are the countries in Latin America that are sending out their own missionaries to other parts of the world. And so we've helped send out missionaries, encourage it, help train them, and then these individuals are going out. So now we're excited to look around the world and see how many missionaries are going out from these other countries and countries where we work, we've trained people, we've invested in the future there, and they have gone out now to train people and to work. In some cases, they go as run a coffee shop. In some cases, they go and work in a library. In some cases, they go and work in education, in schools. In some cases, they're engineers, they're business people. They are there in their own profession, and that gives them an opportunity to get to know people and share the gospel as they can with these people. So the question that sometimes comes up is, what can we do? And so the first thing we can do here in the U.S. is pray. It doesn't take a lot of effort, it doesn't take a lot of money, but it does take some time to pray for these missionaries. Now, if you haven't got one of these, commercial break. If you haven't gotten one of these Alliance Life magazines or you don't have it coming to your house, do sign up for it. It's free, and I would encourage you to get it. It tells you what the Alliance is doing around the world. There's lots of devotional stuff in it, but I wanted to point out this is a key source of finding out what our missionaries are doing around the world. So if you haven't signed up for it, talk to Leah and get signed up for it. You can pray for the missionaries, and how do you pray for a missionary? Well, there's lots of things we could tell you about that. Pray for what their need is. What is their need? Rich Brown told us that IncaLink needs some money to help buy a refrigerator. How do we know what their needs are? We write them. We email them. We Zoom them. We read Alliance Life magazine. We look and see what these missionaries are doing. Talk to them. We can get on the phone today for free with WhatsApp and talk to a missionary in any other country around the world. And you want to take advantage of those things to extend our outreach as missionaries. We can send people. Some people can go. Some people can't go. Those who can go, go. You might go on a one-week mission trip. You might go on a one-month mission trip. You might go on a one-year mission trip. You might go on a lifetime mission trip. Staying there a long time. If you can't go, you can send. You can help others go who need the resources to make that. And I've had several friends who's due to health issues of their children, they were unable to go. But they can send. They can help send people to these unreached countries around the world. And you can give. You can give to the Great Commission Fund. When you do, then when it goes to help send missionaries out, the Great Commission Fund allows you to give funds towards helping a missionary project. It goes towards helping take care of the missionaries and put a roof over their head and put food on their table and clothes on their back. It also gives the opportunity of supporting them and praying for them with the ministry costs that they encounter. So the question I want to finish with, and we're going to finish early today, and the hot dogs will be ready in a little bit, I think. What will you do Well, sometimes it works. There we go. What will you do? How will you honor your Heavenly Father with the unreached people groups, with the needy, with supporting missions around the world? Father, we know that you've sent us, you've called us, you've prepared us, you put a challenge before us to take the gospel around the world, as far out as we can imagine. Father, I thank you that you consider us worthy of that. At the same time, Lord, we need your guidance. We need to be encouraged. Lord, we pray that you would show us what you would have each one of us do, what you would have us say, where you would have us go, what we would need to do. Lord, just guide us. Cause us to think continually of your need and the unreached peoples around the world that need to hear about you. In Jesus' name, amen.